Hey, God Bless You Summit Online. Welcome back to our online campus studio. Hopefully you got to watch last week. It was our pioneer message from our new studio. That's really how much we believe and care about the expansion of our church into homes, into workplaces, into your car, wherever you're getting to watch this message. We're glad you're joining us. You know, I have a quick story before I begin the message today. We on the studio have some windows and a glass door as well. And we had ordered some graphic vinyls to go over those windows. And I had called our graphics guy and said, hey, I haven't seen those come yet. Can you check on the tracking number and let me know when those will arrive? He said, yeah, hold on just a second. This is really weird. Something must be messed up. The package looks like it's in Mumbai. And I said, well, that obviously can't be true. And he said, no, it was last scanned by FedEx in Mumbai, India. And I kind of got frustrated. And I thought, how in the world could they make that mistake? It had left the Midwest or South somewhere and was just being shipped here to California. It was expedited shipping, should have been here in just a couple days. Somehow, though, it made its way all the way over to India. And we called FedEx and got it all squared away. But after the frustration kind of dissipated, I really got excited, and I thought that was maybe a God thing, that it was God's way of maybe helping us understand that this campus had the capacity to reach well beyond the walls of our church. And not only were we going to reach people here locally, we're going to reach people all across the world. So our graphics vinyls for the studio made it all the way over to India, and maybe that's what God's going to do with these messages, is reach all across the world. So I hope you're praying that direction. I'm glad you're joining us. We're in part two of a brand new message series called Better Because of It. So I want to bring something up. This is my bag that I keep in my car. And in it, I have a bunch of disposable masks. I have some mask I bought at Sam's Club. I really like these. I wear those a lot. Here's one I bought because I didn't have one somewhere, and I hate that one. I can't breathe in that one. Here's some Old Navy ones. Here's some Buffs, when you couldn't buy masks because nobody had them. I had to spend a lot of money to get some Buffs, and those are the kind that wrap around. Way too hot to wear in the summer. Here's some more Old Navy ones, and it just keeps going on and on and on. And I've got even more of those in my truck hanging off my blinker lever. And those things, I will tell you, have been a point of great frustration for a lot of us for a bunch of different reasons. It just practically, I've gone a long time in my life without actually wearing a mask or needing to remember to wear one. And so what happens is I'll be walking towards a store and I'll get all the way across the parking lot and remember I don't have my mask, and I will have to turn all the way around, go back, and get that out of the truck. It kind of reminds me of a story that happened just Monday to Lisa and I. We have some friends, and their daughter is at UNR, University of Nevada, Reno, and we're close to them, and we help each other out, and we're going to drive up to Reno and help her. She's got an apartment there, help her get some furniture set up and do a couple other things while I was there, and we were gonna catch lunch and spend some time with her and then catch dinner and go home. So we did all that. We went to lunch together first. We went back to her apartment. We built all the furniture. We got everything set up. And then we met at a pizza place. And this was kind of a downtownish like pizza place. So you had to park off. There wasn't any street parking. And so we parked in a nearby parking garage. And parked in that parking garage, walked down a couple flights of stairs, walked a couple blocks until we got to the pizza place. And right then it hit me. I had forgotten my mask, and I wasn't going to be able to go in, because right on the door, it said very clearly, no shirt, no shoes, no mask, no service. And so Lisa and this young lady went inside together, and I just said, just get me a small thin crust margarita pizza. So she goes in, and not only were they requiring masks, they were putting 6 feet between the customer and the person taking the order. So Lisa stood back with her mask on and she says, I need a thin crust. Maybe I should actually have a mask on to illustrate. I need a thin crust margarita pizza. And the person behind the counter said, I can't hear you. And Lisa did it again and yelled, and the person still couldn't understand them. And so Lisa, in frustration, turns around, walks outside, and she goes, we're not eating here. I am not going to yell my order across the, I can't, they can't hear me. I can't hear them. Let's just go to the Mexican place next door. Well, that was a great victory for me because I actually love Mexican food, and to see her kind of get a little frustrated and not want to yell her order through the mask was a big win for me. But most of the time, those kind of moments cause us real frustration. I mean, authentic frustration. And here's why, because we feel further disconnected from somebody. We want to see a thing happen. In that case, it was something simple like just ordering a pizza, but we want communication to happen and that communication to produce something. And when you wear a mask, it reduces the effectiveness of communication. And it's sort of something that's united us all in this, is that we all seem to feel further disconnected, and we all seem to feel a greater sense of frustration, isolation, and alienation from each other because of these masks. And I don't know, maybe that's why some of you are pushing back so hard on wearing them, is not because maybe you don't believe in the coronavirus, or not because you don't believe in the efficacy of the effectiveness of the mask, but maybe you're just deep down inside really feeling more disconnected, right? So here's the thing that we're really craving and we're really wanting. And this is what I concluded from all this frustration is, I'm going to use this thing, I'm going to use these as a daily reminder to me that I need to work harder at becoming better at connecting with people. Because listen, there's a lot of things that are working against us being connected, and these are just one of the things, but I think they're a perfect symbol of us being further and further disconnected, not just disconnected from pizza employees and not just disconnected from strangers or the person standing at the door at Costco, but disconnected. I mean, just really symbolizing the disconnect that's happening in marriages, with our kids, with friendships, with those who we're used to spending time with. So there's a quote by Oprah Winfrey. She says, great communication begins with connection. I'm going to read to you one more time. Great communication begins with correction. Can I tell you, Oprah's probably a lovely lady, but she's wrong, as she has actually been many, many times before. Good intentions, just not well executed. And in this case, she's wrong about that. It sounds good when you say it out loud, but it's actually wrong. Here's what I mean, is great connection actually begins with good communication, not the other way around. Have you ever known anyone that was really well connected to somebody, but they had poor communication leading up to that? No, absolutely not. Really good communication is the bridge that we build to get to great connection. So if you're not connecting with somebody, the key to connecting is, of course, learning how to better communicate, because we want to know their needs and how we can help meet them, and we want them to know our needs and how they can help meet those as well. Because isn't that essentially all that we have conversations for, that we connect and communicate for, is to communicate something we want the other person to adopt and react to and possibly do something about? And of course, we want to be heard, they want to be heard, and that's where good communication happens. But I'm going to tell you, it takes work. It is a bridge that needs building, and I'm going to tell you how you can do that. Just three things we can start doing right now. I make better relationship connections by, number one, making better communication a purposeful priority. I'll say it again, making better communication a purposeful priority. So I've talked about this a little bit before, and I'm going to say it again because I think it's worth emphasizing. We operate under the mistaken belief that we're good at listening and we're even better at sharing our heart, at being heard. I know most don't think they're bad at communication, but bad communication starts with our inability, our unwillingness really to hear the other person. And then secondly, at being able to clearly communicate what we want from that person or what we want them to hear from us. Listen to this quote by George Bernard Shaw. He says this, the single biggest problem, and I can't argue with him, the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. I'm going to say it one more time. The single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. What he's saying is absolutely true. You and I think we've said something. I can't count the times that I've shared a message, that I've told stories, that I've preached 3 points and really thought that I got across what I was trying to get across. And someone will come up after the message or maybe a week later or email me that week and say, boy, Pastor Chris, it really hit me when you said this. And I thought, I didn't say that at all. I don't think I said that. But the point was, they heard it that way. And that means there was failed communication. Not necessarily because the thing they concluded was a bad thing. It just wasn't the thing I intended. For you and I to be successful at communication, see, I can't even do that right. For you and I to be successful at communication, we have to be purposeful in the intention of what we want done. And we have to navigate well the choices to get to the right destination, or else here's what happens. We build bridges with our communication that end up in all the wrong places. We have to be purposeful. Or else, here's what happens. Two people sit down and they shoot a bunch of words at a target they never end up hitting. Just because you spoke and just because the person you were speaking to spoke back to you doesn't mean communication actually happened. Listen to what Proverbs 18:21 says. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Boy, we need to sit on that for just a second. I want you to hear this. Words are absolutely imperative to giving life or taking life. They are the key to bringing life to someone and bringing life to ourselves, or actually starving us from life. That means that you and I should be ultimately more careful with our words than we are with virtually anything else in our life. We've got to be so careful with our words. We have to be so intentional with our words and intentional with hearing the words from a person to make sure that we're understanding what they're saying. And that brings us to the second thing. I make better relationship connections by, number two, listening to understand others better. I want to understand others better. So here's the frustration that happens when we're really trying to listen. Our motives behind why we're trying to listen often skew and pervert the results of listening. Here's what I mean. We almost always listen to give a reply. We're listening so that we can answer them, so that we can fix whatever they're talking about, so that we can tell them what they want. We're rarely listening to understand what they're trying to say. We react a lot. We hear them say something, and our mind begins to prepare our response. And we can't wait for them to stop talking so that we can give our reply to that. Boy, especially now, when somebody says something that we disagree with, when somebody says something that's politically charged or socially charged, they happen to be talking about the circumstances that we're going through right now, man, we can't wait for them to stop talking so that we can start talking. And that is a terrible way to listen to somebody. Listen to what Proverbs 18:2 says. So let me read this passage of scripture to you from Proverbs 18:2. It says, fools, which other translations will say the stupid, have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their opinions. So the Bible's pretty clear. It's telling us that really the most foolish thing we can do, the most frustrating thing we can do for somebody else and even for us, is to listen without trying to understand. We don't ever pause and ask questions and say, oh, hold on, I don't think I'm fully understanding. Can I ask a clarifying question? Can you explain that a little bit further before I don't want to respond to something I'm misunderstanding. But the Bible says that a fool just can't wait for the other person to stop talking so that they can get out whatever they want to say. Here's the problem. When we're focused on saying what we're going to say next, there is no focus left to hear what that person's trying to say. And can we all agree that we are not good communicators by nature. And that means that when somebody's talking to us, when your spouse, when a coworker, when your boss or an employee, when your children, when a complete stranger is talking to you, probably nervous, they may be frustrated, they may be feeling emotional, and they're going to do a pretty bad job at getting out what they're actually trying to say. You and I, as good listeners, trying to understand, will focus hard on reading between the lines, trying to hear that emotion, trying to hear that frustration. Proverbs 18:13 says it this way, "Listen before you speak, for to speak before you've heard the facts will bring humiliation." How many times have you been in a conversation where you say, "Oh my gosh, you just said blah, 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 blah," and the person you're talking to goes, "I didn't say that at all." Isn't it crazy how we can hear something that they didn't actually say or they didn't think they said? Communication breaks down when we don't just pause and listen. Listen to understand. Jesus's brother James hits it right on the head in James 1:19 when he says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, pay attention to what I say." In other words, listen, listen, listen really carefully, because what I'm about to say is really, really good. "Everyone should be quick to listen." Like, make that the very first thing you do and hang out there. "But they should be slow to speak, and they should be slow to get angry." Do you know why we tend to get emotional when people say something that we don't like? It's because we're equipping ourselves to react to them, to make sure that they understand how what they said impacted us, and so we're loading ourselves up. But James gives some really good godly advice. Be quick to listen and keep listening until you understand. Be really slow to speak, because you don't want to say something when you haven't gotten the full story. So this is a good attitude to walk into every communication moment. This is the right attitude to have. You say, "For this moment to be successful, I don't need to say a thing. For this conversation to be successful, I don't actually need to say a thing, but I want to understand everything they're saying." And so when you do choose to speak, maybe they're just asking questions. "Hey, I want to understand. Tell me a little bit more about this." "Okay, you just said something. Did I understand that right?" I mean, that all feels very weird for us to do that, because we're used to just reacting. Okay, so we listen to understand. And then third and finally is this, I make better relationship connections by, number three, speaking thoughtfully so I can win hearts and not arguments. Speaking thoughtfully so I can win hearts and not arguments. So let me just say this. Real connection doesn't happen when just one person, because you're thinking, boy, the way you're making it sound is, with the last point, I don't get to talk at all. I don't get to share my heart. I don't get to share my feelings. No, I don't think that that's what successful communication is. I'm saying that that's a great attitude for you to have. You're very likely going to have plenty of opportunity to share your heart and speak and react. But when you go in with the right attitude of listening first and really getting all the information you need, then you can choose better what to say. You're never going to know what to say until you've had the opportunity to first hear that person. I mean, really hear that person's hearts. If one person doesn't get to speak, if they're doing all the talking and you're doing all the listening and then you don't get to speak, you're going to feel disconnected. You're going to feel disappointed. You're going to feel discouraged. You might even feel defeated from that. And that's not successful communication. And the exact same would happen if you got to do all the talking and they had to do all the listening. So really good communication is when both people have the opportunity to be heard and both people have the opportunity to really hear and understand the other person. Our problem tends to be this. When we speak, we're speaking out of emotion often. We're emotional about the circumstances that we're in, or the political climate, or the upcoming election, or the health of a loved one, or this person's disagreement with how we feel about something, or possibly it's an argument with your spouse and they've hurt your feelings, or you feel like you've been misunderstood. Well, we're feeling something when we're talking, and that feeling tends to fuel things. And what happens is we want them to feel what we're feeling. If we're hurt, honestly, sometimes we want our spouse to hurt a little bit too. So we tend to say things that are hurtful. If we're angry, we tend to put anger into our words and we say angrier words than we normally would other times. And then when that person doesn't give us the reaction that we expect or that we want from them, we tend to then point our words and shape our words and use our words, and we want to get another reaction out of them. And that is going to make us feel insensitive, uncaring, unfeeling, and communication tends to break down. So when communication breaks down, we're left with the rubble of really poorly chosen words that we pick up and we start throwing at one another. But I love what Colossians 4:6 says, and this is the last passage I'll read to you today, and I want this to kind of just drip over you, just kind of let it run over you like kind of a healing balm when you think about how you can speak, how you can share your heart, how you can make sure that you're heard. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. In other words, don't make up things just to get your point across. Don't exaggerate things. How often do we do that? You never do this. I always do that. We use big exaggerated words to get our point across because we don't think that the truth will be effective enough. And then speak clearly. We tell our kids, use your words. But we as adults sometimes expect each other to be mind readers, and that's frustrating for the other person. Let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. For then you'll be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith. And you go, whoa, 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 hold up. That passage of scripture is talking about if somebody asks me about my faith. Listen, everyone is always asking about your faith. Here's what I mean by that. When you're having an argument, a discussion with your spouse or with your kids or with a coworker, your faith, your relationship with Jesus Christ is always at the forefront. You can't disconnect your marriage from your faith. You can't disconnect your parenting from your faith. You can't disconnect your behavior at work or your behavior at the bank or your behavior on the road from your faith. Every single conversation is about your relationship with Jesus Christ and how that relationship has impacted your desire and your ability to connect with people in a meaningful way, the kind of way that Jesus connected with people. Rich Simmons, who is a South African business speaker, he trains people, and I like what he had to say. He says, communication's only effective when we communicate in a way that is meaningful to the recipient, not ourselves. In other words, when you speak, speak in such a way that you will reach the heart of a person and that you can win their heart. And I can tell you that it never comes through manipulation. It never comes through abusive words. It never comes through belittlement. And it usually doesn't come through sarcasm. Use your words to influence people in a way that will shape and capture their heart. I would say this in closing. You don't have to talk a lot in order to be effective. As a matter of fact, well-chosen words, a few well-chosen words, will always be more effective in connecting you heart to heart than will a million words fueled by impulsive emotion. You should remember this, that the Gettysburg Address, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, was only 286 words. It was about 2 minutes long, yet it's regarded as one of the greatest speeches in all of history, because it moved the heart of a nation. It changed history. He wasn't speaking to himself. He already believed what he was saying. He wasn't speaking to his wife. I'm sure he had rehearsed many, many speeches before that. He was speaking to a bunch of people who were not ready to be persuaded on a particular issue, an issue that had divided the nation, and yet he persuaded and moved and connected with the hearts of a nation through well-chosen words, and you can do that too. So instead of getting frustrated by these, and we all feel that same frustration, whether you believe in them or not, it's really not the point. We all understand that this has made us feel more disconnected. Let these be a beautiful reminder that you and I need to be intentional and purposeful in connecting with people, more so now than ever before. Can I pray over you and then we'll close together? God, thank you for our online campus. Thank you for those who are taking a moment out of their days and tuning into this, sitting down with their family or by themselves. Maybe they're at work and taking a break. Maybe they're in their car. Maybe they're at home. Maybe it's Sunday morning. Maybe they're sitting at the breakfast table and they're just watching this. I pray that they receive this word from you, that it's an encouragement, that it's life building, that it's effective at change, that it produces good fruit in the hearts of every person who's willing to pause and listen to your word. I thank you for the good results, that as we go back out into the world and that is a mask-covered world, that it just reminds us people are longing for connection and we've got a game plan to do that. We've got your word fueling and inspiring us. We're not going to let these frustrate us anymore. We're going to let them inspire us to connect further with people. We're going to be better because of this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.